Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 050 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded in an unusual time slot, Sunday night, September 18th, 2011. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students' and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Well, it's appropriate that in this 50th episode I will depart from the usual format. 50 is a great number. Had I not had this disturbance over the summer of having to change servers and change my website and all that mess that was plaguing me for the last several weeks of August, this would have happened closer to the anniversary of the podcast, but be that as it may, we're carrying on. I had the most amazing experience last Thursday. And that's what I'm going to talk about on this podcast. We're just departing totally from the usual format. I met Mr. Charles Carrera at the Mawa Museum. He is the man, I guess, responsible for pulling together their fabulous Les Paul exhibit that's going to open Sunday. He didn't give me a press preview. He gave me a pre-press preview of the entire exhibit. When I say pre-preview, I mean up close and personal. No velvet ropes. Some displays were exposed and not enclosed with anything. And the staging of some exhibits were still under construction. I got right up next to all the exhibits. I was able to touch some of them. It was just an astounding thing. It was like I was stepping out of time and space when I went there. And here's how that came about. I made the appointment to interview Mr. Carrera, not even allowing myself to think about asking to sneak a peek before the media or donors or the public were able to see it. When he graciously offered, I was exceedingly appreciative. He spent quite a while with me, walking me through the priceless treasures of the guitar icon. To see the Octopus, which was the original sound-on-sound recorder of all time, which was really the forerunner of GarageBand, which I'm using to mix this podcast, was just beyond what I can express. I also saw the legendary log and the legendary lathe. The actual workshop that was in Les Paul's home is there. There's even a piece of the wall he constructed in his recording studio. You have to remember that acoustic tile had not yet been invented when Les Paul and his son Rusty formed curved planks of wood and stacked them with the curves in a regularly alternating order all the way from floor to ceiling, all the way up the wall. And I don't mean that the planks were against the wall. I mean they were protruding from the wall. This was to create a perfect acoustic chamber for his recording endeavors. I mean, this guy was totally out there, amazing and astounding. I saw the electric pickups that he created himself before there ever was an electric pickup. His old tube amp and an assortment of guitars are on display. Charles brought out a log from the back of the museum, opened the case, and showed it to me. If you don't know about Les Paul's log, you should really look it up on the internet or in some reliable source. It was the very first attempt he made at creating a totally non-acoustically amplified guitar. And basically, it was a beam of wood with a pre-fretted neck, bridge, and his homemade pickups. Nothing at all looked like a guitar before he put half of an electric guitar top on each side of it so it was visually recognizable. Les Paul, for those of you who only know him as a guitarist or just as the namesake of the Les Paul guitar, for you younger guitarists who maybe haven't been well initiated into a full and balanced appreciation of guitar music through the 20th century, Les Paul wasn't just a guitarist, but a sound engineer, an inventor, and probably the most significant 20th century figure in terms of his concurrent contributions to sound engineering, the recording industry, contemporary music, and guitar technology. This was a man who didn't even graduate from high school. He had a brilliant mind and had the kind of personality and perseverance to not rest until what he imagined was able to be created and perfected. Often that required his own craftsmanship. He even made some of his own guitar picks, I understand. Now, why in the world is that exhibit in Mahwah, New Jersey, which is a rather obscure little northern New Jersey town? Well, it's not so geographically little, but it's has a very small population considering its huge space. Well, he moved to the town of Mahwah in 1952 for a confluence of reasons, and he lived there until his death in 2009. So, I mean, he was there for over 50 years, so I would have to say probably he considered that really his home. I think the Mahwah Museum has created a beautiful and extraordinary exhibit for guitarists, other musicians, and non-musicians who can appreciate genius when they see it. On today's show, I'm going to play the interview I had with Charles Carrera after he was so kind to take me through the entire exhibit and let me look at it, and we conversed about just about every piece that was in there. And this interview was recorded on Thursday, September 15th, in between some of my guitar student appointments. It was quite a day. I was a little glazed over when I left, and my last student, Anya, might not have gotten 100% of my attention, maybe 97. I don't think I could get totally focused and back to normal after such a surprising afternoon. Don't forget that the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey, that's M-A-H-W-A-H, will be hosting this exhibit from September 25th through the end of June 2012. Now here's the list of what's going to be happening this week leading up to this fabulous exhibit kickoff. Wednesday, September 21st, Michael Cochran, mentioned in this interview, you'll hear his name mentioned, will give a lecture called Les Paul, The Man Who Changed Music, at 3 p.m. at Ramapo College Sharp Theater. Ramapo College is also in Mahwah, New Jersey. The lecture is free. Thursday, September 22nd, Michael Cochran again will give a lecture. This time it's entitled Les Paul, an American Music Genius, at 7:30 p.m. at Ramapo Reformed Church. That's R-A-M-A-P-O. We have a lot of Native American names for things up in this part of the county. Ramapo Reformed Church is at 100 Island Road in Mahwah. There's a tiny admission fee for that, and it's $3. Both of these lectures, if you have the free time and you are accessible to these venues, are well worth your time if you're a musician or you're just fascinated with genius. Thursday, there's also going to be an article in the Record newspaper, which is our local Bergen County daily. They interviewed Charles Carrera a couple of weeks ago, I think, regarding the exhibit. He mentions that in our interview. Saturday, September 24th, Bucky Pizzarelli and Louis Paolo, good friends of Les Paul and extraordinary musicians in their own right, are going to play a tribute concert at 8 p.m. at Ramapo College Sharp Theater. Tickets must be purchased in advance. And at the time I'm recording this, which is Sunday night the 18th, just a few tickets remain available, honestly, a handful. They are available on the Berry Center webpage, which I will put a link to on my website. Prices of the tickets that remain are $27 and $24. I have my ticket. In fact, I purchased the last orchestra section seat, and it's really not in a bad location because I bought a single ticket. I thought I was going with a friend, and the friend was unable to make that date, so I just said, forget it, I'm going myself. It's down the street from my house, and I'm going to have a great time. I have great affection for Bucky Pizzarelli. If you have been reading my website when I had sort of a question of the week and a weekly update on my website, sort of like a sort of blog. Or if you've listened to this podcast from the beginning, you have definitely heard me mention Bucky Pizzarelli. And frequently when I have taken students to hear Bucky play at a free venue or any other venue, frequently Louis Paolo's there. And they're great guitar players. They were both contemporaries and friends of Les Paul. And the name of this concert is Les Paul in Mawa, a tribute. This is going to be a fabulous concert, I'm sure. And you will hear in the interview when Charles says that they are hoping to make this something annual and attract some more guitarists. I know he mentioned, perhaps not in the interview, but I know when we were going through the exhibit, he was mentioning some very big-name guitarists you would know who are quite interested in what's happening. I wouldn't be surprised if they show up. They might be at the donor party, which is not open to the public, and I'm not going to mention the date. It's mentioned quickly during the interview, but you're not invited if you're not a donor, and either am I. So this exhibit that is unspeakably fabulous opens for the first time to the public Sunday, September 25th at 1 p.m. I had planned to go, but Charles said it's going to be mobbed. So I'm going to recommend that my students and you all listeners don't go on opening day. There's probably going to be a lot of locals going and perhaps some luminaries who are not donors and couldn't get to the donor party. So although it opens at 1 p.m. on September 25th, I recommend attending no sooner than Wednesday the 28th or later. I will put the hours of the exhibition up. If I'm not mistaken, the exhibit is going to run from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday through the end of June 2012. So I hope all my students are going to get out to the concert and the museum exhibit. Here's my interview with Charles Carrera. Please excuse the less than perfect quality. We were interrupted a few times, and we were just in a kind of conference room, and it wasn't acoustically designed. And there was plenty of construction and setup noise at times. I edited down as best I could without chopping off too much conversation. I had to cut a few places where people came in, interrupted us, asked museum-related questions that had nothing to do with our interview. This was a very informal and very impromptu interview, which I was so grateful for. So you're going to hear a little bit of dead time and a few ums and a few pauses, but for the most part, you've got all that I recorded when I visited. Now, tomorrow morning, which is Monday the 19th, it is the official media day, and I will be in attendance tomorrow morning. I understand the opportunity for some one-on-one questions. I don't know if interview is actually the right word, but one-on-one questions will be taken. And there's going to be a little mixer for media people, and I will report on that. And I don't know for sure if by next week I will have this podcast back to standard format, which is intro, student spotlight, question of the week, news, and take note, and outro. If there's a lot more Les Paul tribute and museum news, I may just do it one more week. If I meet anyone that I think would be intriguing to have discuss that wonderful exhibit that's going on, I will definitely have them on as a guest. And I appreciate your forbearance. And if you don't know who Les Paul is and you're listening to this podcast, and if you only know that Les Paul is a line of Gibson guitar, you need to find out about who this genius and titan of guitar history of the universe is. So thanks for your forbearance. I really hope you get a chance to go to this museum if you're somebody local. And here is my interview with Charles Carrera. I'll be back when it's done to just close out this podcast. So, now you've already answered my question in that you are not personally a guitarist.
No, I'm not.
Do you play any instrument?
I played piano when I was young.
Okay.
So I know how to read music.
Okay. And do you like music?
I love music. And I listened to Les Paul and Murray Ford when I was a teenager in a small town in Virginia. I remember it so vividly, How High the Moon and World is Waiting for the Sunshine. It might have been among the first music that I was really aware of as a 10, 11, 12-year-old.
Fabulous. Okay. How do you think your not being a guitarist affects your appreciation of this exhibit? And I'm asking that because my audience that listens is primarily guitarists or people who know guitarists right. very well. And I have an idea what they're going to get out of this mm-hmm. exhibit if they mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. any appreciation of mm-hmm. Les Paul's singular extraordinary qualities. I mean, there's no one that has ever been like him.
Sure, sure.
But as a non-guitarist, someone who's a non-guitarist who's going to come through out of curiosity, what do you think they're going to get out of this exhibit?
I think most people appreciate music, and many appreciate Les Paul without knowledge of how to play a guitar. I'm a historian. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of 20th century American cultural history. I met Les Paul 3 or 4 times. I've read a lot about him. I admire him. Many people are going to come here admiring Les Paul and also appreciating his contribution to music, in modern American music.
And not just guitar.
However, guitarists are going to have a higher level of appreciation. That I'm very well aware of.
Okay, great. Do you recall the first time you became aware of Les Paul's inventions, not just his music, but his inventions?
I was aware, even as a youngster, 11 or 12 years old, that what I was hearing on the radio was different from what I was hearing from anyone. I didn't know why.
But
I didn't know what was going on, but it was captivating and it was different. And I filed that away, and then within the last 8 or 10 years, as I read about Les Paul, then, aha, that's how he did that.
Right. Okay, great. Are any of the people that are taking part in putting this exhibit together and staging it and getting this ready for the public, are any of those people guitarists?
Yes. The main person who has loaned us many things and who's a key advisor is a resident of Mahwah, is a longtime friend of Les Paul. He's a guitarist.
And his name? Are you at liberty to say his name? Or not?
Jim Wasaki.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. The fellow who's going to do the lecture.
No. Michael Cochran is doing the lecture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim Wasaki and I do lectures locally. We were at the Mahwah Library on June 1st. We're going to be at the Ridgewood Library on November 30th. And Jim will bring in a couple of guitars and a couple of the instruments and so forth. And I will talk about the overview of Les Paul and his fit in 20th century American culture. And he will talk very specifically about guitars and sound on sound and so forth.
Okay, all right, great. Can you elaborate on Les Paul's issues that came up with the larger museums that one would naturally think would be having this exhibit
yes.
as opposed to Mahwah?
Yes, yes, I will. And I'm glad you asked that. Because he told us 5, 6 years ago when he was here in the museum, a friend of one of our trustees told us that Les was interested in coming here and seeing the museum and seeing about some of his things being exhibited here. And so we followed through on that. We arranged for him to come here. He was very impressed with what was going on here. He liked what he saw here. And he asked us 2 questions. He said, I will give you things for your museum, I will loan you things, if you will agree to having a permanent exhibit, and if your exhibit will be interactive. And we said we would make that commitment. And he told us the story that he was angry at the Smithsonian and disappointed at the Smithsonian because I guess at one time his whole collection was going to go to the Smithsonian.
Would make sense.
And he was upset when it was clear to him that they were going to put everything in the basement. And he was very upset about that. And before he died, he went to Waukesha, his hometown, and he made plans and he helped raise funds for a museum in Waukesha. That never happened, but in nearby Milwaukee, which is about 30 miles east of Waukesha, they have a museum called the Discovery Zone. And in that museum, there's some things from that Les Paul donated to be near his hometown. Country Music Hall of Fame has the one of their three logs. We have one. And the Grammy Museum, we'll have the log for 1 month, so you should tell your students that it goes to the Grammy Museum on November the 1st.
Oh, so that will not be a permanent part of this collection.
No, no. Hopefully it'll come back to Mauá, and hopefully we can make arrangements to exhibit it once again and have a permanent loan from the Les Paul Foundation. That's a possibility, but we don't know yet.
Are you thinking possibly in 2015, which would be 100th anniversary of his birth, that might happen?
Actually, as I said, we're going to have a permanent exhibit. It's going to be about 1/4 of the size.
Okay.
We have a limited exhibit space, and some of our friends in town say, you need a bigger building.
That's true.
That's great. Let's raise the money.
Yeah. You need a little Les Paul room.
Yes.
Is what you really
need. Right, right. Actually, one of the exciting things, I'm on the faculty at Round Pool College. I have a lot of friends in the music department. I've talked with the Dean of Contemporary Arts, as a friend of mine, the chair of the music, and some of the music faculty. They're very excited about what we're doing. They're cooperating with us. Some of the events are at the college next week. Lecture on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and the concert on Saturday night. The college has agreed that all the proceeds from the concert will go to the museum.
Wonderful.
With the commitment that we will write a check for $1,000 for music scholarships from our proceeds. And we make a commitment also that this is the first annual Les Paul concert tribute. And so next year, we're going to do an evaluation in October, how well this went. Next year, we have a lot of feelers out to very prominent guitar players who love what we're doing, excited about what we're doing, doesn't fit in their schedule to be here. Perhaps as they see the excitement that comes out of this, they will be here next year. And we can do bigger and better things, and maybe we can have a bigger building somewhere.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be a nice tribute to Les Paul.
It would be. To what extent do you expect the media on the 25th when this exhibit opens?
Actually, we have media day on Monday from 10 to 12.
This coming Monday?
Yes.
Oh.
BGO is very interested. 104.3. Radio Woodstock, these are ones that I've talked to, Fordham University Radio, and the Record has already interviewed me. They will have a feature in Better Living on Thursday the 22nd.
Wonderful.
That'll be a nice write-up. We have two video documentary video makers who want to be here to document what we're doing, to make a professional video, and then we can use that. We're in negotiations for something like that.
Okay, now you have a lot of connections at the college,
yes.
Which means you have tentacles into the youth culture.
Yes.
Has anybody made an app for this exhibit?
An app?
An app for your iPhone or your Android phone?
I have never thought of that.
Oh, I think you really need one.
Okay.
Because with that app, first of all, you can charge a small amount for somebody purchasing it, mm-hmm. which would come to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it would allow them to listen on their iPod, and it would be just like you're standing right next to them, talking to them about each individual thing, sort of the way you can do it at a museum in New York.
As they come through the...
Yeah, they'll just have purchased the app. It'll be on their phone. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, that's okay.
This is the invoice for all this stuff. I just wanted you to see it.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it in the top drawer here for
why don't you put it in Tom's or Mike? Should you put it in Tom or Mike? Put it in one or the other.
Well, I want Mike. It's more than a few $100, so I wanted you or somebody to approve it because I'm not.
Well, we gotta pay it.
Yeah.
We gotta pay it. So put it in Mike's.
Which is up here somewhere.
Yeah, right? and you can email and CC Tom and myself. How's that? Just say that $1,400 plus.
Yeah.
Good.
What's for that?
Great. Okay. And it's all in place?
No, it's all sitting here. But
no, but I mean, we have it all.
Oh, we have it all.
Great.
Yes, we do.
That's a great relief.
Yeah.
We got to
yeah.
protect all this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And we'll have to get the alarm guy early next week, and he'll take care of his part of it.
Great.
In the meantime, you should have a few pit bulls in here or something.
Yeah. Hungry dogs with a bad attitude.
There you go.
Keep them running around. All right. Sorry.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to take off. I'll see you.
Okay.
Thanks. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
The idea of an app, I don't think it would take anyone who's developed an app before very much time. And all you would need
some of the people at the college could do that.
Yeah. And all you would need is the audio.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of exhibit where anyone can go around listening to their own iPod after purchasing your app and really get a complete understanding of what they're looking at rather than hoping to read over somebody's shoulder or something like that.
Sure. I had thought about that, actually. But truth be known, we are all volunteers, and I wrote the journal, and I raised the funds, and oversee the whole thing, and I'm going crazy. I'm the media person, too. So.
Okay. Now, did it never come up with Les Paul, that the idea of his exhibit material going to the Met in New York, the Metropolitan Museum?
Never heard that. Never heard that.
Interesting, because they have quite a nice instrument collection, nice, very beautiful collection of guitars, although there's more acoustic and classical and things like
that.
Did
you go to the guitar exhibit that they had?
The guitars of the Guitar Builders of New York?
They didn't have anything on Les Paul.
Well,
and he was a guitar builder of New York.
But no, they were talking about those three Italian builders.
Oh, I know.
It was Italian guitar building
but
in New York.
But Bucky Pizzarelli was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, We can't have everything we want.
My guess is, from that exhibit, the Met is more historical. It's not as contemporary as the Grammy or Country Music Hall of Fame or Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
What I want to know is what happened to the New York branch of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Why did it disappear? It was in a lousy location in a lousy building, but it was a nice exhibit, and New York deserves something like that.
They sure do. You're right about that. Did Les Paul propose an exhibit here, or was the museum interested before he purposed to contact you?
We were told by one of our trustees that he was interested and that he wanted to come here and see what was going on, and he was interested. After his frustration with the Smithsonian.
So he chose this museum.
Yes, he did.
It's amazing. Now, the exhibit's going to be open from 1 to 5 Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
From now until, from September 25th until June,
right.
the end of June 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen to most of the collection in July that's not going to be part of the permanent collection?
Some of it we own. Some of the... Well, we have an agreement with the Les Paul Foundation that we have a one-year loan.
Okay.
If this is very popular, my vision is that we would maintain some of the space as an ongoing permanent loan from the foundation.
That would be great.
And but right now, it's going to go back to the foundation.
Okay. All right. Now, does any of the exhibit that you have here not belong to the Les Paul Foundation, and it's strictly the Mahwah Museum's?
Yes. We have been given stuff by Les. We've been given stuff by two different collectors. And so we own some things that are in here.
Okay. So, and I imagine that's what would comprise a good amount of the permanent exhibit?
Yes. However, I have hopes that the Les Paul Foundation will want to leave as a permanent loan some of the key items.
Like one of the logs?
Yeah.
That would be great. Nice. Yes. Now, the interactive part of this is that people can come and play vintage Les Paul guitars on his amp.
Yes.
Now, the donation for that is $25, which benefits the museum.
Yes.
Will that only, that, and I understand it's by appointment.
Yes, that'll be on our website. The dates will be on our website, the mechanics. We're envisioning we'll start around the middle of October, and it'll be like every 2 weeks, although Thanksgiving interrupts in there, and then we get to Christmas. We're going to have like four Wednesdays between the middle of October and Christmas. We're going to see how it goes. We'll expand that in the spring if there's interest.
Now, those will be Wednesdays. Will they be during museum hours, or
no.
You'll run it into the
evening?
The
museum will be closed, okay, except for the guitar players and a couple of their friends that want to come in.
So if a guitar player comes in with, say, their family, four or five people, they're allowed to come in.
Right,
but
right.
We're not talking about a guitar player coming in with their entourage and 35 people.
The logistics is going to be a little challenging because the rest of the museum is really closed. You know, people can see it, but, you know, we want people to, we want guitar players to come in and play on that stage. And if people really want to explore the exhibit, the idea is they come on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Okay.
That's going to be a little bit difficult to manage, so that's why we're feeling our way along.
Okay. And the guitarists who come, they do not need to be professional-level guitarists.
Oh, absolutely not.
They just need to respect the instrument that they're playing.
Yes.
Now, obviously, for obvious reasons, photographs are not allowed in the in the museum. But what about just a photograph of someone playing one of those
guitars?
That's
no problem.
That's okay.
That's
so
no
it's
problem.
Just because someone might really want to document that.
Yeah,
for,
absolutely.
For posterity.
In fact, we would encourage that. That's good.
Okay.
But we have a contractual legal relationship with the Les Paul Foundation, and we would get in big trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
If any of these things ended up on Facebook.
Okay. And some of the things that are going to be available here at the museum to purchase for people who are coming through will include what kind of items?
They're going to include Les Paul in His Own Words by Michael Cochran, the person who's going to give the lectures next Wednesday and Thursday. They're going to include Chasing Sound and other videos. They're going to include a journal, which I wrote. It's 21 pages of text and pictures of, 32 pages of text and pictures. It's a summary of the exhibit and research from guitar magazines and whatever I could find, documenting and talking about the log, the octopus, sound on sound, the lathe and all that. That'll be available for purchase.
Okay, so no schlocky stuff like T-shirts or guitar picks?
Some of his original guitar picks. We're speculating on packaging some of those in a little baggie and selling them for $5 each, his own picks.
Oh, I'd say put them up for auction. You'd do better than $5.
But in January, we will be selling some autographed pictures, autographed records, autographed sheet
music.
Some
of the things I saw displayed in the stairwell.
Yes.
Okay. The exhibit is magnificent. I really want to congratulate you. I hope you're going to get it all done by Sunday, a week from Sunday. It's a lot of work, but
it's actually a week from Friday because the opening party for donors is Friday.
Oh, okay. So
it's
so you have
challenge.
Even more to do.
It's a challenge.
Well, it's thank you so much for the information and the advanced look at the exhibit.
I'm glad that you came by.
It was
it's a pleasure.
Just extraordinary. I want to thank you for that.
I hope you enjoyed that interview, and I hope that if you're within a reasonable driving or commuting distance to northern New Jersey, that you will mark your calendar for either of the lectures, the concert, and or the exhibit. As I said, I plan to have follow-up on the concert and on tomorrow's media day at the museum. I have to admit, I have to be a little smiley and like the cat who swallowed the canary to have already seen what the media people will only get a glimpse of tomorrow. It was such a privilege and an honor and a thrill. I hope you can hear that I'm smiling as I'm saying it. It was just fabulous. Let me close this podcast out with my usual closing. students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for this most unusual episode 050 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. This was a totally unconventional podcast, but for good reason. I will be back to the traditional format next week, or at the very latest, the following week. I will include links to anything I've mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note there's no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment when we get back to that format. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I am not a tweeting maniac. I tweet to update people who are following me and retweet what I think is interesting. Although, this week I might be a tweeting maniac. Depends on all the cool activities and what I am able to attend. Right now, I don't know if I can make any of the lectures, but that is contingent on my students and them keeping their business appointments with me. If any of them have unforeseen scheduling conflicts, I may be able to attend. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, and or subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. For the time being, that's going to remain as I just mentioned. If you are seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland counties, county towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is the best thing, and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.